When a tragedy happens, there are many people who turn to God. And then there are people who don't believe in God or whose faith has been destroyed by a tragic event. The number of Americans turning away from religion is growing, a trend we're exploring all this week in the series Losing Our Religion. This morning, NPR's Barbara Bradley Haggerty shares the story of two women who lost those closest to them.
It's a perfect day for flying, Carol Fiore says. Clear, breezy, a gorgeous view of the Rocky Mountains.
We're standing in front of Mile High Gliding, where I flew gliders quite a few years ago. Part of why I enjoyed flying so much is because I did it with Eric.
Eric was her husband for 20 years. After they married, he flew F-15s in the Air Force, and then he became a test pilot in Wichita for the airplane manufacturer Bombardier. On October 10, 2000, the plane Eric was co-piloting crashed on takeoff. When Carol arrived at Via Christi Hospital, she learned that her husband had burns over 50% of his body.
Then I found out that he'd been given his last rites.
Not a surprise, since Via Christi is a Catholic hospital. But even after Carol announced that Eric would not want anyone praying for him, a priest hovered and prayed day after day. Finally, she kicked the priest out.
I think that was a turning point in the whole religion thing for me.
She told everyone that she and Eric were atheists. And still, as he lingered near death for 36 days, people offered religious consolation. God has a plan, they told her, and Eric is going to a better place.
And when he was in the hospital, and they said that, he was laying in a bed with tubes coming out of him with 50% burns and no face. Is that a better place? And then after he died and people said to me, well, Eric's in a better place. I'm an atheist. Eric is in the ground rotting. I know that sounds horrible to say that, but that is where he is. How is that a better place?
After Eric's funeral, which was held in an airplane hangar, not a church, Carol was flailing. She was hardly able to take care of herself, much less her two young daughters. All the grief groups were attached to a church, so she tried the self-help section of Barnes & Noble.
Everything I found had to do with God, putting your faith in God, believing that God had some sort of plan. I found nothing to help me.
Carol realized she had to go it alone. She moved the family from Wichita to Loveland, Colorado, and as a coping mechanism, she began to write a book about her husband and now a grief workbook for atheists. But mainly, it's her daughters who give Eric's tragic death some measure of meaning.
I don't believe in an afterlife, and I don't think I'll see him anymore, but I just have to look in Tia's eyes and hear her laugh and hear Robin talk about history the same way that Eric did and know that he's still there.
Hey, honey. Hi. I brought you some stuff.
Oh, here's my zoo shirt. Yeah.
Her daughter, Robin, is a student at the University of Colorado at Boulder. She says she sees her dad's genetic influence in her and her sister.
And as an ecologist and as a scientist, we believe that, you know, when you die, your energy becomes part of a system again. So in that way, I guess people can never really be gone.
And yet Carol Fiore believes it's harder for her to grieve because she's an atheist.
I often envy religious people who have that devout faith, and they know that they're going to see their loved ones again when they die. But I don't believe that. I sometimes wish I did.
This is a sentiment that Joanne Cacciatore hears often. Cacciatore is a professor at Arizona State University. After her baby died in 1994, she started the MISS Foundation, a grief group for parents that is now nationwide. She also began focusing her research on how people grieve after a child dies.
What we tend to see is that people who have some type of spiritual base tend to cope, I don't want to say easier, but they tend to take comfort or solace in the fact that they'll be reunited with their child at some point.
Cacciatore says she's seen non-believers embrace spirituality and religious people wash their hands of God. She says tragedy almost always shakes a person's faith, but they usually circle back to it. Mary Bailey doesn't think she will.
So it's this end unit over here.
Bailey and I are parked across from a brown stucco house in Phoenix. This isn't her home, but she knows it well.
When you walk in, there's a kitchen, a very small kitchen, and that's where Michael was shot.
Her son Michael was killed here 8 years ago. He was 21, fresh out of the Navy, and enrolled in culinary school. That day, Michael went to a friend's house. An acquaintance dropped by. He started yelling and waving a gun around. He shot Michael close up, square in the chest.
And that was when my world just shattered.
Soon, her faith would follow.
So this is St. Francis Church, and this is where my sisters and brother and I were baptized. And
this is where Bailey sought solace after her only son died. What she found was a priest who told her, "We all have our crosses to bear," and it was time for God to call Michael home. She thought a priest could not possibly understand the pain of losing a child.
I just remembered thinking, that's it. I'm done with the Catholic religion. I think it got more personal with God when I tried just praying on my own. Then I became more angry, and I questioned, why do I need to be praying at all? Why is my son dead? And what kind of God lets a child be shot? And I think that was more me not only just leaving the Catholic religion, but that was me leaving God, too.
Later, she says it was hard to break from her religion. She thought,
uh-oh, what am I going to use to save me now? And I really came to the realization that, yeah, I think I'm alone in this, and I need to save myself.
She saved herself by learning everything she could about traumatic grief. And the research suggests that one of the best ways to heal is to help others.
Good evening, everybody. My name is Mary Bailey. I am truly sorry for the circumstances that have brought us together tonight.
Bailey opens the monthly meeting of parents of murdered children. The mothers here tell of children whose ends were too soon, too violent.
My son, Chris, was shot in the face.
I lost my daughter, Letha, to a domestic violence situation.
My son, Michael, was shot in the head by my own nephew.
It's here in the pain that Mary Bailey feels a little more whole, and yet she can't quite abandon the hope of seeing her son again.
For the sake of Michael, I just need to believe that there is more to life beyond death. Because if it's not, then that means my son's life is over completely.
Bailey says she wishes she could believe in God again, but she says, I just can't. Barbara Bradley Haggerty, NPR News.